Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the finfanatic.com website, as well as the Fansided Network. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is fanatic underscore pick. We are now, Paul, 3 days into free agency. The Dolphins have somewhere around $21 million in cap room to spend. And obviously, as we've learned in recent days, that money can be moved around all over the place. And, you know, I want to begin the show by saying this, that on this show for the last several weeks, if not the last several months, we have talked about the importance of the Dolphins addressing the offensive tackle position. And we've also salivated over the amount of money the Miami Dolphins have in the offseason. They went into this offseason with the most cap room in the entire league after coming off a winning season. Now, I say that because it's not time to freak out about what's out there, because look, the offensive tackle the offensive tackle free agent market has not only stayed the same, except for the Ravens signing Morgan Moses, which Paul did not like. Obviously, it was a steal for the Ravens.
$5 million a year for somebody.
$5 million a year.
$12 million a year.
But the Bills released Darrell Williams, a very good right tackle when he plays right tackle. And Billy Turner, a former Dolphin, was also released by the Packers in a cap move because they're paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million. So my point is, there are so many offensive linemen out there and offensive tackles, and the Dolphins do have the money. But I'm starting to get to get pretty antsy, if people can't tell, following me on social media over the last couple of days.
And in part, I'm with you. It's so a couple of things. I'm going to start this off by saying, at the very least, we need one offensive tackle. We need it. The other thing I'll say is, before free agency even hit, and this is something I've been thinking about on and off for a while, I've said similar on our show in the past, we did not have a great offensive line in a while, even. We'll go with a while.
Historically bad last year.
Right, but it's the past couple years, we really haven't had a great offensive line. But the other aspect as well is our scheme has gotten dumber and dumber. The offensive line, and you can go back and look at our grades, didn't play horrific in the games we ran the ball. And our scheme was terrible. And we didn't run the ball enough. So anybody that's a pass rusher was able to just pin their ears back. So realistically, a couple of things with Mike McDaniel and the way he likes to run the ball did make this line better, even though they're definitely not there yet. And it makes any line better. The fact that you have to account for and believe that the run is coming at you. The fact that Mike McDaniel's scheme has a tendency to put defensive players off their spot, giving you a numbers advantage with your offensive line, with your fullbacks, with your tight ends, the guys that are leading the play, the way that Mike McDaniel also includes and utilizes wide receivers in the blocking scheme. That also helps the offensive line. So you don't have five guys on an island with seven guys that know you're passing, and they're all coming just hell-bent for leather. So that improved it. It's not where it needs to be, though. Now, the other thing I've been thinking about over the past couple days, we didn't like Robert Hunt getting kicked into guard. He played well down the stretch, but I think Miami's probably going to kick him back out to tackle and let some of these resources they have fight it out for the guard spot, at the right guard spot. Connor Williams has left guard on lockdown. I know we're going to talk about him extensively, which really in position to need a tackle at that point.
I want to go back to a point you said about guys being put on their spot, and that's where I like and I respect Mike McDaniel. You could look at who they signed, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, and Alex Ingold, and say they shouldn't have spent $11 or $12 million there. But that's the part where I respect where Mike McDaniel. Otherwise, why did we hire the guy? Unless it's to move the rest of the defense down the field and to implement this zone blocking offense and get fast players like Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds into the hole. But I also cannot respect if he's thinking in any way that the Dolphins have to have Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg at the offensive tackle spots. And I don't think that's the case. Let me be clear about that. But there's been some talk. I mean, Barry Jackson has said that there's talk within the organization that the offensive tackles and the offensive line was very poorly coached instead of, thank you. Sorry for the mouth breathing there.
Sorry, I thought you were done. I was trying to catch you. It sounded like you were yelling into a walkie-talkie, Cat.
I always appreciate the heads up. So, but the bottom line is the Dolphins cannot go into next season with Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg at the offensive tackle spots because, very simply, you cannot turn the worst position in the NFL historically last year into a great unit. You just can't.
I fully agree, and I don't think we're going to go in with either Austin Jackson or Liam Eichenberg at a tackle spot. I think we're going to go in with Robert Hunt at right tackle, the way it's looking right now, unless somehow the Bengals let Lyle Collins walk out from their meeting. But I think Robert Hunt is going to kick out to that right tackle spot, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Dolphins make a run at Trent Brown for the left tackle spot. And I know one thing that we talked about already on this episode, Miami has somewhere in the neighborhood of $21 million available. There's a lot of ways that they can make money available. And this is something I wanted to ask you actually on this show, and I apologize. I meant to tell you about it beforehand.
Go for it.
Would you be willing to commit to Xavien Howard and Jerome Baker for the next 3 to 5 years? And there's a reason for this.
Given the way the AFC is going on right now, yes. Because okay. If we're talking, because, and you were way ahead of the curve on this, Paul, because about kicking money down the road, I'm not sure if you did it intentionally, but if basically you can take this amount of money that Xavien Howard and Jerome Baker
don't steal my point. It's just,
and you could kick yes it down no. the road. Would I be in favor of it? Yes.
Okay. So I've sat around and played with it, and you could give Xavien Howard that raise that you've agreed to thus far. And I think he's got something like 3 years left. You can give him that raise, and a significant raise, and basically use Saints money to kick the can down the road, like you were just alluding to. And you can clear easily $5 million in cap room for this year for Xavien Howard. I think it's something like $3 to $4 million a year for Jerome Baker. And if you're willing to commit to Byron Jones and realize that you may have to move him over to safety at some point to the Eric Rowe role, you could basically clear another $15 million with those three players and give them a little bit more money utilizing signing, converting the signing bonus, utilizing the void year aspect, and knowing that you're committed to them for the next 3 to 5 years, depending on the player.
So here's my question to you is, yeah, if you're going to do that, then you have to do it for a specific player. Mm-hmm. What specific player is that?
For me at this point, it would be if we needed cap space for Trent Brown, for not my favorite play, but you know what? I would do it if need be. Armstead, it's really like, look, I mean, if you need to clear some space to maybe bring in Bobby Wagner to play next to Jerome Baker and not have to worry about that in the draft, if you were going to look at some trade scenarios, which I know we'll probably do in a future episode in the near future, as far as whether it's an offensive lineman for a linebacker, if there's a stud wide receiver you think you can go out and grab.
So here's my point is that I'm not interested in kicking money down the road for the sake of kicking money, for the sake of kicking money down the road. If you're saying this is the way we get Teron Armstead and this is the way we get Lael Collins, 100% on board. Yep. And then if you get another player too, 100% on board, because in the AFC where you have right now five elite quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and you may be able to include Lamar Jackson in there and somebody I'm probably forgetting. If that's the way you're going to say, we're going to be competitive and we're going to win here in the next 2 years, I'm all for it. But I'm not interested in doing it if it's just kicking the can down the road.
No, and I wouldn't do it unless it was for a specific player. Other than I would consider it with Xavier Howard because we've agreed to restructure this offseason and Greer has already come out and basically said publicly, hey, we committed to restructure with Xavier Howard in good faith. He showed good faith in us. We're going to be doing that this offseason.
Yeah, so if you're saying we get two very good offensive linemen and complete this offensive line, you know, Bobby Wagner, I thought, declined a little bit last year, but I understand the point of what you're saying. But mm-hmm. you're going to get 3 to 5 good players, and you're going to be more competitive. That's the way the NFL is trending with, you know, the amount of money that they're going to get here over the next couple of years in the salary cap. It's quite obvious that the salary cap is, if it's not been obvious to everybody, that's pretty fake right now. I mean, but yeah, here's my thing. And going back to the offensive line, I see 8 players on the market right now. And the Dolphins need to get a combination of 2 of them. And if I could pull up the list, I could do it. So Teron Armstead, a left tackle. In this order, Teron Armstead, number 1. Lael Collins, number 2. And he's in Cincinnati tonight, like you said. And if he leaves there, the Dolphins have a really good shot of getting him for somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 million a year. Probably have to make a long-term commitment. But he plays right tackle. And he would protect Tua's blind side. From there, Eric Fisher at left tackle came back from an ACL surgery 13 months ago, played for the Colts last year on a 1-year contract, got in at the second half of last year. He was okay. He wasn't great, but you're talking about a former first overall pick and somebody that's, you know, 3 years removed from 2 Pro Bowl seasons. Then after that, you know, it kind of gets a little bit tighter after that. Trent Brown, I still go back to, I don't see how he's going to fit in this offense because he's so darn big. He's 6'8", 370 pounds. And the question becomes, would the Dolphins be willing to make that concession for the scheme fit as opposed to protecting Tua?
Well, and I do see the point with the scheme fit piece, but I also go back to something that Mike McDaniel said in an interview while he was still with San Francisco. And he basically came out and he said, we wish we could get all these big guys, but because of the fact we haven't invested high round picks in offensive linemen, we're forced to go ahead and utilize the strengths and weaknesses with these guys, which is, you know, being a little more agile. Like we wish they could all be 6'8", 400 pounds. Trent Brown is not far off from that. And with a running scheme, you can scheme your blocking around the players that you have. And I think that he could do that with the blocking scheme based around the strengths and weaknesses of somebody like Trent Brown. Trent Brown's going to bowl somebody over and you can't move him. I'm trying to remember, I was reading a quote today when Trent was a young player with San Francisco. Oh God, who was it? Was it Khalil Mack? Basically said that he's the best blocker he's ever faced in his life.
Well, he's so hard to run around. And because of that, I'm willing to deal with the non-scheme fit if it comes down to that.
Mm-hmm.
So Armstead, Lael Collins, Eric Fisher, Dwayne Brown, or Trent Brown, and then Dwayne Brown, who's 37 years old, but continues to plug along. It could easily be a 1 or 2 year fixture there at the left tackle spot. And he fits that wide zone scheme. He could still move. And if Jason Peters and Andrew Whitworth could do it till 40, Dwayne Brown could probably play at a serviceable, durable level for another year or two. So he's somebody to keep in mind. And then I'll finish that list with JC Treader, who I'm surprised was cut from the Browns, who are in complete disarray right now. But, you know, only 30 years old, plays really well, has played in a zone scheme, and has continued to over the last couple of years. Billy Turner and Daryl Williams also cut recently. I know people may roll their eyes at Billy Turner, but ever since he's left the Dolphins, he's turned into a really good player. He might be
amongst offensive linemen.
What's that?
That's a theme amongst the offensive linemen.
Declining?
No, just when they leave the Dolphins, being at least serviceable.
No, gotcha, yeah. And hey, I was actually heartbroken to hear that Jake Brendel, one of our favorites, was actually re-signed to a 1-year deal by the 49ers after he left.
Jake the Snake, baby. Bring him back.
Evan Brown was too. Well, would probably throw a 7th-round trade in for him, but that's the major point here, okay?
So, and that's where it sounds like, other than Lyle Collins, at right tackle, we'd be making concessions with a lot of these guys, and that's where I still think Robert Hunt was out of position last year. I think while he did well at guard down the stretch, I think he's a better right tackle, given the fact you've signed Connor Williams and a lot of your resources really are guys that are going to kick inside or should kick inside. Austin Jackson, he's got a lot of athleticism and a lot to learn, but he's better in the phone booth. Agreed, Brett Dodger. Liam Eichenberg is better at a guard in the phone booth. Solomon Kinley got off to a rough start last year, got a little fat coming into camp. But at the same time, you go back to Robert Hunt at right tackle with Solomon Kinley at right guard. The two of them made each other better playing next to each other. And, you know, the who can get the most pancakes game they like to play was effective on the right side of that offensive line.
Solomon Kinley, you said, came in a little bit fat to camp. You kind of glanced over that. Solomon Kinley is a fat pig who will never, ever play in this scheme. I'm going to tell you this right now. He will never play. He is a useless player, and we'll revisit that. I hope I'm wrong about that. Okay,
and he might not, but you know what? That's listing off three guys, not listing off Robert Jones, who also looked good at right guard when he got a chance.
Yes, he did.
You know, and you start. Hell, I don't want him on the team, and I think we can get you do better with his roster space. But Jesse Davis was better at guard than he was at tackle. Like, you've got five guys to try to plug into that right guard spot. If you kick Robert Hunt back to right tackle and you sign a Trent Brown or a Teron Armstead or a Dwayne Brown or, you know, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
You're fixed.
If you have Robert Hunt at right tackle, even if he is a slight step below where he was at right guard, he's still a good right tackle. And And then if you couple that with a good left tackle and then you shove all the other resources inside, I'm 100% with you on that.
So and a better scheme. And a better scheme. And that's such a huge factor for an offensive line. Because as bad as the offensive line played last year, the resources were here to be a far better line than the Bengals, who made it to the Super Bowl. And the scheme was so broken and stupid that it made them look bad. The fact that no matter how, like, we had games where we were averaging over 5 yards a carry on those first 7 to 10 runs of the game, and we got away from the running game and just said, hey, defense, we're going to throw the ball no matter what. And not because they dictate it, because we did. Because our stupid 3 offensive coordinators were so abysmal, and our head coach wouldn't check them on that.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important the Dolphins get 2 of these of the 8 players that I talked about: Teron Armstead, Lael Collins, Eric Fisher, Trent Brown, Dwayne Brown, Daryl Williams, J.C. Treader, or Billy Turner. Because if you can get 2 of those guys, you pair them with Connor Williams and with Robert Hunt. Now you've got 4 out of 5 offensive line spots. I'm not going to say completely fixed, but now you don't have a major weak link. And then you find somebody else along the way. Hopefully the Dolphins get 3 of these 8 guys. But if they don't, I'm going to be really, really angry that they have spent $20 to $25 million on backup players. And this is where I'm going to fight anybody on Twitter who says anything to me. Don't ever sign backup players as opposed to signing starters. And so, the Dolphins continue to do it.
So a lot of these guys aren't backups. Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds will probably get the lion's share of touches out of the back.
Oh, I'm not even including them.
Cedric Wilson?
No, I'm not including that. I'm talking about Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
I'm talking about the 4 linebackers the Dolphins re-signed. Landon Roberts, who is, okay, if not, I'll adjust that to saying backups or low-end starters. Landon Roberts, Brandon Scarlett, Preston Williams, Duke Riley, and the Sam Agwavon.
Last touchdown of the season, Sam Agwavon.
Who cares? Who cares?
I care.
I mean, it was cool. It was cool to see. But my point is, that's fine. The depth signings are fine if it does not impede signing and fixing the offensive line. Because if it does, that's where I'm going to get pissed off. If I hear that the offensive linemen that I laid out, Teron Armstead, Lael Collins, that the Dolphins came up a few million dollars short, a Duke Riley or a Brennan Scarlett short, that's embarrassing as an organization, and Chris Greer should be fired before the season starts.
Yeah, and I think, we walk away with one of those tackles that can play left tackle. I think we're in good shape. I really do. Like, not the greatest shape we possibly could be with an all-pro line across the board, but our line would be drastically improved at that point. Drastically. It would at least be good at that point. In which case, the scheme as well is going to improve it. And really, the talent in the scheme is going to improve it, I believe. So it's if we get the one player that can play left tackle well, we're in good shape at this point, and we didn't prohibit ourselves from anything.
Yeah, it's the major thing we keep coming back to is both offensive tackles. And I like the Connor Williams signing. I really do. When you take somebody from the Cowboys who, you know, when he was drafted as a 20-year-old raw offensive tackle out of Texas, and he kicked inside, and, you know, he's had some ups and downs, but graded out really, really well by PFF last year in both run blocking and pass blocking, and he fits the scheme, and he can move, and he fits the zone. scheme very well. He can get out in front. Absolutely. I mean, he's somebody that I think the Dolphins, on a 2-year, $14 million contract, he and Cedric Wilson, I love these signings for the Dolphins. I also love that they brought back Emmanuel Ogba and Mike Gesicki. Mm-hmm. They nailed those things. I want them to also fix the offensive tackle position. So,
well, the we'll good see. News is we've got a big, strong, fearless player that if one of the linemen misses their block, he is blowing that gentleman up. And that's Alec Ingold, baby.
Fullback, Paul rubbing his hands together as he was talking about fullbacks.
I stopped listening to what you were saying and just started thinking fullback, baby. Fullback. Like, let's go. He's an animal. Whether he's got the ball in his hands or he's out in front of somebody. Like, he just plays with fear and reckless abandon and anger.
Ooh. Yes, he does. And he's good at his job. And it's a job that's limited in the NFL, and it's a job that works for this type of offense. I mean, I remember when we mocked our starting 22 offensive players on both offense and defense about a month ago. I had Patrick Ricard there. You know, he was a Pro Bowl fullback. He doubles as a defensive tackle sometimes, but doesn't really fit the scheme because you need a Kyle Juszczyk type of clone at fullback that can be athletic, that can get out into pass patterns, that can pass block, not just this straight mauler who plays, you know, 25-30% of snaps. Alex Ingold is somebody who's not only that smash mouth fullback, but also converted almost 70% of his third and fourth and shorts. I mean, third and fourth and 3 yards or less. So he's good in short yardage. He has soft hands, and he was the only fullback that was invited to the combine in 2019. And it's rare for a fullback to even be invited to a combine unless they double as a tight end. So I'm in big favor of this signing because I like getting somebody for $3.5 million a year who is really good at his job, even if it's limited.
He's very good receiving the ball out of the backfield. He is an excellent blocker. Excellent. Like, not just good, excellent. He is excellent at his job and his role. And Miami's got some fun pieces to do some interesting things when it comes to being a little bit smash mouth here. And if Miami gets a left tackle, they can make it work. If they don't, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Armstead and Fisher and Dwayne Brown, even at his age, fit that zone blocking offense. Because the thing is with Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds is it's not a smash mouth type of offense as far as how the running back performs. It's
one lane and go.
Correct. And it's creating a wide lane so that the running back can get from point A to point B really, really quickly. Chase Edmonds averaged 5.1 yards a carry last year. And among running backs that had over 100 carries last year, he was sixth in yards per carry at almost 5.2. And Raheem Mostert, throughout his career, and by the way, he played one game for the Dolphins back in 2015 as a kick returner. But for his career, averages 5.7 yards a carry. So if you get those guys into space and they can go from point A to point B, then they can do some damage. But you've got to get those offensive tackles out there first. And Liam Eichenberg and Austin Jackson, I'm telling you, if the strategy here, which has been reported by Barry Jackson, which has been reported by the ESPN guy with the hyphenated French last name,
Daniel Ayafuso.
No, that sounds pretty good, and that sounds pretty close. Jacques, yeah, somebody help us out in chat. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but
Marcel Louis Jacques.
Yeah, thank you. that the problem may not have been with the offensive tackles, Liam Eichenberg and Austin Jackson. I strongly disagree with that statement because it is so hard to take two offensive tackles who have been so bad last year, historically bad, and make them great, which is needed for Tua to have time to throw in the pocket.
Yeah, and it's, again, I would love to have Lyle Collins and one of the left tackles, but I also think that we just, like, Trent Brown may not be a fit, but he's better than any option we have, and at least we'll make this a functional offensive line, and that's all they need to be in this Mike McDaniel scheme, and that's what I love about it. Like, I know I've said this before. If you haven't watched it, go watch the Baldy's breakdown of the way that this scheme puts defensive players off their spot and then occasionally puts them off their spot and tries to blow it up the middle. And in those instances when they try to blow it up the middle, having a couple of these guys that Miami does have added to, like a Trent Brown, would work.
So, Paul, if you're the general manager here, Dolphins have $22 million to spend and they can move some money around. What would you do from this point forward in free agency?
I would turn my focus right now to the offensive tackle position. You know, with the list of folks that we've talked about, for whatever reason, Teron Armstead is not talking to people while this whole Deshaun Watson thing is going on. And you can't play musical chairs with this position and sit around and wait, you know, for, ooh, what's Deshaun Watson going to decide based on what the Saints say and based on Deshaun? Like, it's all right, try to make an offer to Teron Armstead. If he's not listening because he's sitting there staring at the prettiest girl in the world to him, which is the Saints, okay, fine. Move your focus, and if you don't land any of these other guys, come back. Because while you're sitting there staring at Teron Armstead, or sitting around waiting for Lyle Collins to hopefully get away from the Bengals, you're missing out on the guys that could still improve this roster. And this is a team that had a winning record last year, despite a dysfunctional scheme on offense, and despite the fact that they ran the wrong scheme on defense to start the year, to the tune of 1-7. And this, based on the way the roster came back and some of the additions they have right now, this should be an improved team. You just have to nail that left tackle spot. You have to.
Yes, and those three guys to me are Armstead, Eric Fisher, and Dwayne Brown. You know, Trent Brown is for me a emergency type of guy, but I guess he factors in too, given the circumstances. But
he does. It's. I'd rather sign Dwayne Brown now or Trent Brown now than wait around for maybe we get one of these other guys. If you can get Trent Brown now, get Trent Brown now.
Yeah, and he's visited with the Seahawks, and the big thing that's working in the Dolphins' favor is it's not like the interior offensive line class. I mean, the top nine guys that I have on that are pinned to my tweet, Brian Cat NFL, they're already gone. I mean, and Connor Williams was one of them. He was actually, I think, fourth or fifth on that list, and was a really good signing. Is somebody that, at least as he projects to the future, somebody who can play in the scheme, can pass protect well, and can also run block. So,
well, one other point I want to put out though about the Trent Brown thing is Trent Brown doesn't preclude you from still chasing Teron Armstead. He doesn't. He doesn't prevent you from chasing Dwayne Brown. He's a guy that can play left or right. So if you get him, factor him in as, all right, at worst, he's our left tackle. At best, he's our right tackle. You can basically still chase a Teron Armstead and be able to field an offensive line at that point of Teron Armstead, Connor Williams, Michael Dieter, at least heading into the draft, Robert Hunt, and Trent Brown. And then you've got Hunt as the guy that kicks out to right tackle. If Teron Armstead gets hurt, Trent Brown flips over to the left side, which is no longer the blind side, and you still can have a functional offensive line with the resources you have at your disposal.
I think that's a great breakdown of that. And what it comes down to for me, it comes down to a paranoid fear for me that a prerequisite of Mike McDaniel taking this job is that Austin Jackson and Liam Eikenberg, we spent really high picks on these guys, and they have to work out. If that's the case, and that's what I'm going to be looking for. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not there yet. But if they limp into this offensive tackle class after 3 days of free agency and they are not even willing to involve themselves in it and spend that money, that's where I'm going to start getting upset.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm and based on what Barry Jackson and the guy you just mentioned from the other day, which I wish I would have written down. What's his name again?
Oh, good Lord. Marcel Louis Jacques.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure to write this. See, this is why I usually keep notes, but I was so. Anyway.
So, I mean, Kat, and realistically, based on the scenarios that are out there, the one that was talked about prior to this show, which is you can cut a bunch of people, clear another 15 or so million in cap space. And the reason I say 15 is because you still need to sign players to replace the roster holes to field your roster. So that would bring you to like 35 million, and then you've got three players you can potentially kick the can down the road with in Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, and Jerome Baker. So you could realistically clear a ridiculous amount of cap space to go out and get whoever you want if there are the realistic players available that you do want to go out and get, or if you see a trade you want to pull the trigger on utilizing draft capital to fix a hole on this roster or drastically improve this roster. You have the opportunity to do so based on the resources you have at your disposal and what you can do with the cap space.
Yeah, and one thing the Dolphins have working for them too is they have very little dead cap, you know, basically paying out money to players who aren't on the roster in that time span, in 2023, 2024, 2025. So I feel comfortable kicking the can down the road as far as that's concerned. If you're talking about that, our offensive line from left to right is Teron Armstead, Connor Williams, let's say JC Treader at center, who's still out there, who I really like, Robert Hunt at right guard, and Trent Brown at right tackle, spending a lot of money on the offensive tackle, offensive guard group and free agency moving forward. This has to be an offensive line that is better. That it's going to be better anyway next year than it was last year. Let's face it, but it has to be an offensive line that is better than a C-, which it currently is right now. And that's where I'm starting to get paranoid about. So let's hope that changes moving forward.
And I think it will. I think it will. While I think the Dolphins think offensive line is less of an issue than some of the fans do, because there are fans literally screaming for everyone's head. There are. And I think they're being strategic with it in a way. They do have the capability to give some of their young players the opportunity to improve and show what they have. We do have to reset a little bit of our expectation with some of these guys, just based on the fact that they've been hosed schematically for the past couple of years. They absolutely have. And they've been hosed from a coaching perspective. They've been hosed from a lot of perspectives. And they do have the opportunity to potentially show that they can be an effective player. But you still also need to address the position. And I think Miami will do that before all is said and done.
I'm going to list off some players that were signed for a couple of million a year, going back to 2017. All right, 2017, Jay Cutler, Jermon Bushrod, Ted Larson, Julius Thomas, Andre Branch, William Hayes, Nate Allen, TJ McDonald. Those combined were about $30 million on the cap that year. And where were they after a year or two? Nowhere. 2018, Brock Osweiler, Frank Gore, who actually showed flashes, Albert Wilson, Danny Amendola, Josh Sitton, Dan Kilgore, Akeem Spence, Stephon Anthony. 2020, Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, Eric Flowers, Ted Karras, Shaq Lawson, Kyle Van Noy, Landon Roberts, Clayton Fedulum. 2021, Jacoby Brissett, Malcolm Brown, Will Fuller, Matt Skura, John Jenkins, Bernardrick McKinney, Brennan Scarlett, Duke Riley, Justin Coleman. This is why I hate the idea of signing players, current or free agents, to $25 to $30 million a year for those, that group, instead of signing a Byron Jones who changes the defense, or Ndamukong Suh, who was a top five defensive tackle. So this is why I be honest, I don't have a lot of respect for Chris Greer right now. That could change if he fixes the offensive tackle position. And it's more about the offensive tackle position. The offensive tackle position provides an offensive line that's better than a D plus and protects Tua so that we can know about him by the end of the year or at the end of the second year.
Yeah, and I'm not willing to say throw Greer out with the bathwater yet. Let's give him a chance beyond the, what, 30 or 20, are we even at 30 hours into free agency yet?
We're 17 years into his tenure.
We are, but let's face it, he didn't have control for a large chunk of that. And some of the guys he's gotten over the past couple of years, he's gotten guys in that would have helped fix the offensive line last year. Maybe not fixed it fully, but we've had guys get cast off and you name it by coaching staffs. We've had guys misappropriated and played out of position that we've pointed out for over seasons.
Did he sign those guys to begin with, though?
We don't know who pounded what table for who.
Yeah, well, it seems like the Dolphins never get good players, and he's been with the team for 17 years, and he's been the general manager for six. The guys I just listed off from 2017 to 2021, it seems like a reoccurring theme of signing bums. I mean, get players who are good. You look around the NFL, the Raiders just got Devontae Adams and they got Chandler Jones. They're trying to move the needle. The Ravens sign a Marcus Williams and Za'Darius Smith. Smith was taken back, but anyway, still. The Colts sign Yannick Ngakoue. These are the teams the Dolphins were in competition with. The Dolphins are signing backups again. In what world does that make sense? Chris Greer, go sign some freaking offensive tackles and make this crap right. I mean, otherwise get fired, please, and leave us alone. Anyway, that'll do it.
I mean, I do understand your point there. He has signed some starters here. He just hasn't signed that one position that we all blindingly see needs to get fixed. And I'm with you on that. I really am. But I'm not going to lay the blame all at his feet. Gase was a dumpster fire of a coach. That wasn't on him. You know, and that's where I think he has the ability to get talented players in here. But he's also got to work with these dumpster fires of coaches. And it sucks. But it is what it is. And some of his job, even when he's the one in charge of the coach or whatever, in some cases, it's getting them the players that they want. And it doesn't matter what analysis gets put in play when he's literally told, like, I won't use that guy. Like, or I want this. You know, it's... So, yeah. I'm not laying it all at his feet.
Perfect Q in chat said, coach. Yeah, we should just get Armstead and stop cats complaining. Exactly right. That's what needs to happen. I am tired of the Dolphins being a C or a C plus at every position. And the move that the Dolphins made, and I give Chris Greer credit for this, was signing Byron Jones a couple of years ago. And they signed up for a lot of money. But the reason I liked it is because he was able to be paired opposite Xavier Howard. And it dictated what the Dolphins did on defense. And I contribute that along with Brian Flores' defense and with Josh Boyer's defense as a big reason why the Dolphins have been a winning team the last 2 years. and they should learn a lesson from that. They, you just can't be a C or a C plus at every position, especially in the AFC and how tough it is. So
I don't think we're a C or C plus at every position. It's we've been overbuilding the defense and not focusing enough resource on offense, and that's the theme of what we had. One of the best things I thought when Mike McDaniel came in is the fact that he recognized what we have on defense and doesn't want to blow that up. And some of that includes getting some of the role players back. And I don't think it precludes us from getting a linebacker in the draft, at least. But he wanted to be able to turn the focus on the offense and not keeping the defense. The defensive line is well above a CC plus. The secondary is well above a CC plus. And we need a linebacker at this point to fix that position, which may lower it into that C to C plus range because of the fact that, you know, we've got Jerome Baker, and then we've got some pass rush style linebackers in Phillips and AVG. But we need a true linebacker to pair at least with Jerome Baker. And so that's where Alandon Roberts doesn't move the needle there. Sam Egwuavon shows a lot of talent and skill as a role player. Duke Riley shows some skill as a role player. But you need, you know, whether it's N'Kobe Dean or Chad Muma or Quay or Jack Sanborn. Jack Sanborn's more of a backup. But you get where I'm going with that. It's we've got talented players like Mike Gesicki that was criminally underutilized last year. Mm-hmm. You've got players that can move the needle if you can put together even a functional scheme and fix the one or two spots left to fix on the offensive line. And there's opportunity to improve beyond that on the offensive line, but the scheme and the really fixing that left tackle, if you view Robert Hunt as the right tackle potentially, or fixing the right and left tackle, is just going to elevate your game to be able to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moves that the Dolphins could make here. I think it all comes back to the offensive line. There's some, but what I also like too is that, you know, Mike McDaniel, who routinely gets 5 yards a carry out of his offense based on what he did with the 49ers, also got two running backs, Raheem Mostert on a 1 year, $2 million contract, and Chase Edmonds, you know, it paid a lot for him, but and I think Edmonds, it's what he does in the passing game more, but McDaniel, who routinely gets 5 yards a carry, and running backs who get 5 yards a carry, that's a good marriage there. And that's something to base it on.
Yeah.
But they also need to be able to have blockers for him.
They do. And the Shanahan offense tends to run the wheels off a running back. So I think I wouldn't be shocked to see us keep a Savon Ahmed and a Myles Gaskin on the roster, potentially add somebody through the draft. You know, it's Shanahan's offense has run the wheels off running backs as long as Shanahan style offenses even have run the wheels just completely off of running backs as long as I can remember. To I think back before you were even a Dolphin fan, Cat. Like it's you know, Terrell Davis days even, like just dead leg. Like, and that's part of the game with running the ball the way that they do.
Yeah. And the Dolphins are still going to obviously look at running backs in the mid to late rounds. And I hope that running back is paired with Raheem Mostert and with Chase Edmonds too. So, yes, so much we've covered here tonight. And we'll see in the upcoming days of free agency. And we'll be sure to jump on with some emergency shows. And that's going to do it for our breakdown of really days 2 through 4 of free agency. And there's a lot of news around the NFL that's going to be coming out over the next couple of days. Where does Deshaun Watson land? We'll see. Not in Miami, that's for sure. But I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick on Twitter. And you can follow us on the FinFanatic.com website as well as the FanSided Network. And it's, if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the thin side. Thanks for joining us tonight. Have a great night, everybody.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.